When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you have tuned in to the greatest pro wrestling podcast in the history of the world, Ringside Chaos, also part of Pain Train Pipe Bomb Productions. As usual, my name is Alex Alcazaz, a.k.a. the Bear of Texas, and allow me to reintroduce to you and to personally welcome back Brooklyn's finest, ladies and gentlemen, Mark freaking Braverman. What's going on, Brav?
Welcome back, Alex. It's always a pleasure to do this show. And as you know, this has always been my favorite pay-per-view throughout the years. So I look forward to every November for this one.
Absolutely. And Mark, as always, every time you're on the show, we dedicate it to the memory of your younger brother, Jeffrey. And as a matter of fact, I think every episode is dedicated to his memory, honestly.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Jeff loved wrestling. We always used, you know, the funny thing is when our families used to get together, the Bravermans in Long Island and the Zibbets in Staten Island and the Jacobs in Massachusetts. The funny thing was, originally, Survivor Series was on Thanksgiving. Yeah. So after we would do all the, you know, Thanksgiving stuff and all the dinner, the turkey and all that, we would actually sit down and watch the Survivor Series. So, first three or four were actually at my Uncle Freddie's house, and I do remember them very well. And my father was against it, but my Uncle Freddie said, my house, my rules. So, we all sat around, and we were able to watch the Survivor Series, the original four. Not what we have today, where it's matches, where everything back then was all teams. So, you had some of the greatest matches back in the day were at the Survivor Series, and they were always a bunch of fun to watch.
And Mark, today we're going to do things a little bit different because I'm not going to lead the charge. You, sir, today I appoint you as the director for this one.
A little bit nervous about that, but I thank you so much. So,
don't be nervous, Mark. You are great at what you do. I have spoken to our friend Ricky about this. And honestly, Ricky honestly basically had so much praise. I said, look, I've been doing this with Mark for a while. I think Mark is beyond capable of leading a show. You can produce, Mark. You can lead by example. You know what? And because you love Survivor Series so much, I think it's only fair.
Thank you. And thank you so much. And, well, let's say we get started with the matches first, and then we'll cover the two war games. So you have the card in front of you, Alex. So let's go right down the card, and we'll pick our winners and our losers, and we'll talk about why we think this is going on. And so, please.
Yeah, you know, and of course, not surprisingly, I swear that every single wrestling card, there's always a match that our friend Ricky kind of describes it as. But I've got the card right here, and of course, we got the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther will be defending the title against The Miz. We got Rhea Ripley defending her Women's World Championship against Zoe Stark. And, of course, we got the men's War Games match, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, and Sami Zayn. They're missing one guy, but we'll get to that, against the Judgment Day. And we got the women's War Games as well. And, of course, we got Carlito versus Santos Escobar. And I think we know which match Ricky's not going to like out of this one, out of the most.
Yeah, well, all of us, you and I had a conference call last night about this, and then I was talking to another friend of mine about this, and we all have agreed that the Carlito match is the one match where everybody, if you have not had your fill on Saturday night for dinner, or if you have not had your if you have not had your snack or something like that, this is the match that's commonly called either the bathroom match around the center of wrestling fans. It's called the bathroom match. The when you go to the souvenir shop, if you're at the show match, or if you're home watching, you go to the fridge match. That's that kind of match where it's, we know it's a filler match. We know no one cares. So this is that match, and I think you and I have agreed on that one. And honestly, I'm not a fan of Carlito. I never have been. I just never, I've never liked the guy, and I honestly know nothing about his opponent. So this is that match where you just go, okay, well, this should be the one that's the throwaway, where Vince knows, okay, I got to have a filler here, so there's my filler. And I honestly don't care who wins.
Well, I mean, as far as Santos Escobar goes, I mean, in that storyline, Santos Escobar turned on Rey Mysterio, is no longer part of the LWO. So, no one's particularly thrilled about what's going on there. So and, we already got that out of the way.
Right, and I got to say something about the LWO. Look, I love Rey Mysterio. I've been a fan of his since ECW, the WCW days. And we all miss Eddie Guerrero. But the LWO was Eddie Guerrero's group back in WCW. To bring it back 20 years later, I don't like the storyline. It doesn't make sense to me. We didn't need another organization, WWE, just because we felt like having one.
Yeah.
It's going nowhere, honestly.
You're not wrong, buddy.
They're not in any matches at Survivor Series. They don't even have any opponents really to mesh with them. So what was the point of bringing back the LWO? Because we have nothing to do with the right. You can find someone to do with the right. Ray's a great performer.
Yeah, basically calling audibles seems what they were doing. So I guess now that we got that out of the way, should we go ahead and start off with the Intercontinental Championship?
Let's do it. Gunther versus The Miz.
I got to say, Gunther is a hell of a performer.
Yes.
I like the promos. I like basically what they're doing with the guy. And I remind everybody that when we heard, you remember what Vince wanted to do with Gunther, right? When Vince was still in charge.
Yeah.
He wanted to bury him and send him back to NXT, but Triple H prevented it. So I'm grateful to Triple H.
Well, Triple H and Vince have been arguing about performers forever. One of them was Fandango. If you remember him? Another one is Gunther. One of them was R-Truth, who wound up going to other companies for a while. And the name of top of the list now seems to be Gunther, but I don't know what Vince doesn't like in him. I agree with you. He's a hell of a performer. The guy can wrestle. He has very good mic skills. He's an excellent performer. I think that he's a good Intercontinental Champion. He defends it when he has to. He doesn't argue about storylines in the background from what you and I are told from whatever sources and whatever feeds we read.
He
so,
defends it more than Roman Reigns.
That's not saying much, but I agree with you. But I think that he's a very good champion. I like his work, and I think that he's going to be – I hope that he beats The Miz, because I just can't stand Miz. I've never liked him, and to me personally, he had the absolute worst main event in the history of professional wrestling at WrestleMania 27.
And
Cena just were awful together, and Miz is by far the worst WWE champion of all time. So
okay, all right. I know you're leading the charge, Mark, but come on. Miz is not the worst. I mean, I have to disagree. Miz is not the worst WWE champion of all time.
Yes, he is.
He could have been okay. Well, he could have been better if they had done it right. But hey, at the end of the day, that's not on him. At the end of the day, much like you and me, he's a guy that was basically at work doing as he was told.
Okay, The Miz cannot wrestle. He cannot have a decent match with anybody. His mic skills are okay, but he says the same thing. He said the same five things over and over again. He is boring. He is horrible. He was the worst champion of all time. When you cannot have a good match with The Rock, you have a problem. When you cannot have a good match with CM Punk, you have a problem. The Miz's entire run as champion was the lowest rated in history of the WWE, and that is a fact. Because no one wanted to watch this bum as champion. There is a reason why he only got one run. The second run was exactly 6 days. He's a horrible, horrible wrestler and the worst champion of all time. They've never put a belt on him. And there's a reason for it. He's awful. So, I hope I want Gunther to win. I'm hoping Gunther wins. I just can't stand this guy. Ugh.
I think to answer your question about what Gunther has, what Vince had with him, I think what, because remember when Gunther was in NXT and in Europe, everything, his physique was a whole lot different than it was now.
Yes.
That might be it, but I believe Triple H is the guy who basically told Gunther, don't worry about what Vincent says. I got this, but you got to get yourself in shape. And I think either way, Gunther was going to do it anyway, but yeah, I mean, Gunther is fantastic, and I have no doubt he's going to retain the title. But and we spoke about this, like where Miz is now, his status and his position in the company now, because he's now in his mid-40s.
Yep.
You know, you kind of ask yourself, like, he's basically at a point where he's just basically being used as the guy that's putting the other guys over.
Well, that's what they do. That's what happened to guys like Flair, to guys like Jeff Jarrett and all those guys who are in their mid-40s and are still wrestling, and they become the stepping stone for the next section for their opponent. And it's a good filler for if you can pull it off. Can the Miz pull it off? I don't think he can, but that's me personally. Like I said, I hate the guy, but I've seen guys like Edge, Ric Flair, Christian. You have seen this too. Even the Hardys after a while had this role, and that's where some of the people are when you get to this age, is that you become what they call your job. You become the guy in the locker room who will work with the younger talent. Do you know who the very first star to ever do this was?
Who?
The late, great Terry Funk. When Terry Funk was in ECW, that was his role. He was in middle 40s and mid-50s and crazy. He said to Paul Heyman, I want to work with him, and I'll make them a star, and he did. Everybody he worked with went up the ladder. Dreamer, Raven, Sandman, Sabu, that whole locker room worked with him, Stevie Richards, and they all went on to have careers, and that it's because of Terry Funk. We have that part of the business. And I hate to say it, but guys like Hogan would never do it.
Well said, of course, in my case, Terry Funk, you know, much like the Von Erichs, a strong pride of the Lone Star State.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I have a feeling Gunther is going to win, but I feel like the match is going to be a quick one. Like, if Miz jobs out to Gunther, I keep messing up. It's Gunther, I mean, everybody knows how it goes, but
it's the accent. Yeah, it's the accent.
If Miz jobs to Gunther, that, I mean, you obviously in your case, you'll think different, but I think if Miz has a great match but loses, I think it's good, but I think you would say otherwise, but Miz, we all know Gunther is not, I mean, I don't even know who could possibly be the guy to take the belt off Gunther, but he's going to be champion for a much while longer.
He's going to be champion for a lot longer, and I'm gonna put this on the record. Miz is incapable of having a good match. I've never seen him have a good match in his career. He's incapable of the praise that you are giving him right now.
All right.
It's not possible for him to have a good match. He never has and never will. So,
all right.
Gunther, you and I have agreed Gunther takes it, and I believe that he will destroy the Miz. Next match, please.
All right, Rhea Ripley versus Zoe Stark for the Women's World Championship.
Now, if this is played right, this could steal the whole show. You and I have agreed on this. Rhea Ripley is an amazing talent.
Oh, yeah.
Whether she's heel, whether she's face, whether she's mommy, whether she's whatever she's doing. Okay, whatever Rhea Ripley is doing, NXT, I don't care if it's NXT, FYI, what the hell that is down in Florida, OVW, where she worked for a while, wherever she goes, she is the big star, and that's why she has the belt. And she's had some matches that were wonderful. I think that she's very good in the role that she is now. She's a fantastic heel.
Mm-hmm.
She was a part of Survivor Series last year on the losing side when she lost in the when she lost with Bayley, but she was the star of, she was the main star of that team. And I honestly believe that she's going to have a very good match here with her opponent, and her opponent's a very good talent as well. So this could be a fantastic women's title match. And lately, you and I have agreed on this, that the women have been stealing the cards from the men. For the past 3-4 years, the women's match have been much better than the men's. It's not even close.
Yeah.
So,
as far as Ripley goes, I mean, I still kind of I kind of moan and complain about it, because I really miss her NXT character.
Of course, my
favorite Rhea Ripley moment was the day that she went, the day when she said to Shayna Baszler, and ever since then, yeah, we've all, I mean, I loved her before that, but that was the day that Rhea Ripley permanently solidified herself as, even though she's a heel, the fans are always going to love her, but Ripley, yes. Let me just say right off the bat, we all know Ripley's not losing. If Ripley's going to, I think that if Ripley drops the belt, it's going to be at WrestleMania. So,
I
don't know, I mean, so, obviously in this match, we all know who's going to be at Ripley's side, right? You know,
oh, yeah, we all know it's going to be Dom.
Dirty Dom.
Dom.
And obviously he's going to get involved in the match. But,
well, the problem is that Dominic's supposed to be into the cage, is one of the members of the Judgment Day team going into War Games. So I don't know if he's going to be at his side. He very well might be, but they may tell him to hang on a little bit, because he's got to go into the cage, unless they make the mistake of putting Rhea Ripley's match on first. Then I could see Dominic in her corner. If she comes out 1 or 2, then okay. But at the same time, we don't know the match order yet. So
I would imagine the men's War Games has got to be the final one, but I could be wrong.
I would imagine so, yeah.
But let's be honest. We've all thought that one particular match would be the main event, but there's been times where you, me, and our buddy Ricky, we have not even been close. It's absolutely embarrassing. Ricky even wanted to punch the wall one time because he was so embarrassed. And Zoe Stark, I mean, again, tremendous unique talent, especially, you know, during her time at NXT.
Absolutely.
Zoe Stark certainly has a potential bright future with the company, as long as, you know, creative, you know, doesn't mess up, because, you know, creative messes up a lot. But I feel like this match could certainly go well. I just believe that if Zoe Stark does not come up short, it's clearly, I really believe if she loses, it's going to be primarily due to a distraction from, obviously, Dom Dom, or I would imagine another member of the Judgment Day, because Ripley is a top heel, of course she's going to win under the controversial circumstances, but we all know Ripley's not losing the belt, at least not yet.
I would like to see her win it clean without interference, and she's very capable of doing that, but then again, when you're in an organization, Horseman, Judgment Day, LWO, NWO, whatever, DX, whatever, there's always somebody going to interfere in that situation, so we know it's going to be a controversial win, but we do agree Rhea is going to win. But like I said, they have a very good chance to steal the show, because Zoe's a hell of a talent. She wasn't NXT. She's been a talent up here. She flies around the ring. She does an amazing amount of suplex, an amazing amount of work. I'm looking forward to this one. Out of the three matches that we spoke so far, this is the one I'm really looking forward to be honest with you.
All right. Hey, you know, lately, though, speaking of Dom Dom, I mean, there's that thing going on with Logan Paul. So, I mean, who knows what could be happening as far as he goes. But now we get to, okay, well, let's go and do the women's, since we always go with ladies first, let's go and go with the women's War Games match.
Okay. All right, for those of you who don't know who's on whose side, Team Damage Control consists of Captain Bayley, along with newest members Kairi Sane, Asuka, and Io Sky, the current women's heavyweight champion. That will be Team Damage Control. Their opponents are Bianca Belair, Captain, along with the Queen, Charlotte Flair, the man Becky Lynch, and Schultz, that will be Team Blair. And you and I last night had about a half an hour discussion of all the scenarios that are going to happen if either side wins. So let's work it all down.
Okay. Clearly, as far as damage, and this is, and I basically kind of aimed it with Damage Control, because now that Kairi Sane is part of Damage Control along with Asuka,
right.
Now we all know the story between Bayley and Kairi Sane, because a couple years ago, what did Bayley do to Kairi Sane?
She injured her.
Storyline, of course, but
of course.
So now Kairi Sane, she said in a promo this week that she remembers it, but she forgives Bayley.
Right.
And of course, you did say that this would indicate that Kairi's up to something. This is obviously some kind of setup.
I have never known Bayley or Asuka or Kairi Sane or Bayley to get along at any point in time. Bayley and Asuka have never, on any amount of circumstances, have ever gotten along storyline-wise. Their characters in the locker room, I know when they're not their characters, it's a different story. But in the lot, but in on camera, when they're their characters, they have never ever gotten along. I don't even recall Asuka and Bayley ever teaming up in any situation ever, and they were opponents last year. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
Now we have all now when Kairi Sane joined at the last pay per view in
Crown Jewel.
Thank you. Bayley was actually shocked. And
yeah.
I was shocked on, and then everybody was shocked on SmackDown when Asuka.
I was, even though I.
When Asuka joined Damage Control, and then they had Bayley, the leader of the team, kneeling to Asuka, presenting her with a t-shirt. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. And then Dakota Kai, who's injured, picks up the microphone and says, well, we are challenging Team Blair to War Games, and originally Pam's face was, wait a minute, we didn't talk about this, and then Pam goes, yeah, never mind, we want War Games. It is the fact that the fans are telling us we want Bayley face, because if you watch the shows, everybody has a Bayley sign, everybody tells they love her, everybody's rooting for her, so we know what, it looks like if Damage Control should lose it, this was one of the scenarios that we have. If Bayley gets pinned and loses the Survivor Series, they're going to kick her out. They're going to kick out Dakota Kai. They're going to go face, and the other three will stay heel. The other thing is, if they lose, Bayley will blame Asuka, Io, and Kairi. They go face. Bayley and Dakota Kai stay heel. If Damage Control wins, nothing would happen. I don't believe that's going to happen. There's going to be some swerve here where either Bayley or Dakota Kai go face, or Asuka and the other two girls will either go face or stay heel. One of those scenarios is obviously going to happen. We just don't know which one. But in my book, if they want to keep Damage Control together, Damage Control must take the win. They could just be swerving us saying, we fooled you. You know, we're not breaking up Damage Control. We're going to keep them together. Who the hell knows? But that's what you and I discussed in Deathly last night.
Now we did. Now, okay, well, the fact that Kairi Sane and Asuka just turned heel, I doubt that they're immediately going to revert them back to baby faces. So
It has happened.
Yeah, especially with Edge, when Edge had that brief heel run, you know, when he was kicked out, until after he was kicked out of the Judgment Day.
Yes.
The way I see it is, look, if Bayley's one that's if Bayley is in fact going to be turning into a babyface, now the fact is these War Game matches, it's not like the Survivor Series that we've seen, because in traditional Survivor Series, there's eliminations. In these ones, one pin, one submission, that's it.
Correct.
So it's primarily like a regular tag match, except it's in a cage. There's all these different rules. I mean, it's a whole different concept, but.
Okay.
So the way I see it is, if Bayley does get pinned, of course they're going to blame her for it, and that's going to lead her being kicked out of the group. That's the way I see it.
Well, like we said, if Bayley gets pinned, it's either going to go one of two ways. Bailey will blame the other three for not protecting her, or the other three will blame her for taking the pin. Either way, that's what we feel is going to happen. We both agree on that.
Yeah, and that's what I see. The second option, they're going to blame Bailey for it. They're going to call her the weak link, and that she's holding them back, you know. Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen, because lately it has seemed that even at Crown Jewel, when Bailey accepted the challenge from Bianca Belair on behalf of Io Sky, and then became a three-way, Io Sky was very annoyed with Bailey when she did that. And when Io Sky talks in Japanese, Bailey pretends to know what the hell she's saying. So I don't know if Bailey speaks Japanese or not. I honestly don't know. I speak a little bit of it. I'm not fluent like they are, but
you speak a little? Huh.
I do speak a little Japanese. I speak about 10, 15 words of Japanese, yes.
Awesome.
And I'm actually studying more. So when Bailey does these things, you can see Io going, excuse you, I can speak for myself, thank you. So there are times where it does look like they've wanted to get rid of her for several weeks and months now, and now is honestly the time. And you could see at the house shows when she goes to the house shows, when Bailey goes to the house shows, when she comes out, the fans are up for her. They do. Bailey is very, very loved, whether she's heel or face. And honestly, as much as I happen to love heel Bailey, face Bailey's a better character in my book. She's not the hugger thing, please. No more hugs.
Okay, well, there's no way that can even be brought back anyway, but.
Well, yeah, let's.
But now that you think of it, I think Dakota Kai could actually turn face as well, because imagine. Okay,
yeah.
First of all, you have three Japanese women, and then they become the one heel stable. I think that would make sense. Now, yeah, so I think Dakota Kai also turns face, because Dakota Kai says it's we lost as a team, it's not just Bailey's fault, but we all know for sure Bailey is very likely headed towards a face turn. And there's a video of an interaction with a fan that you talked about. It's on Instagram. That's a clear sign right there. But so now we're just waiting for it to happen.
Well, if you don't know what happened, I'll tell you. It was over the weekend. It was a house show on Saturday night. A fan of Bailey's, big fan like me, had a sign with her original character when she was the hugger, and said that Bailey was sweet. And Bailey does rip up Bailey's sign. She didn't rip this one up. She took it. She kissed the sign and gave. She kissed it. She kissed the sign, not the guy. She kissed the sign and gave it back to the guy. Then wanted to ring into her thing. Bailey hasn't done that in years. So it is a sign that she is going to turn face. And honestly, I think that she's sick and tired of being heel because of all of her chat work that she does with the kids when she's not in the ring. She does a lot of. She's very into her fans, like all of them are. She's always had a very close connection. I think it's time. She's been a heel now for almost, what, 3 or 4 years now?
I think since 2019.
Right. It's absolutely time to turn her back. And
Since before the world went to shit.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to pick Damage Control to take the win, though, because if they're going to keep them together, they need it. But if they lose, we know what's going to happen. So, and honestly, you can't have this. You don't want to pull a WCW and have the same team win over and over again. Last year's Bailey's team won. This year, hopefully, Damage Control will finally take it, and then we'll see what goes on from there. If they take it, if not, we know Bailey's out of. We know Bailey's going to be out of Damage Control, but we'll see.
I believe Damage Control is going to win this one. Because Kairi Sane just came back, so are they really going to have her lose immediately?
Well, the thing was, they did right, because Becky Lynch came back last year along with Alexa Bliss, and then they had Team Blair won, which turned out to be a mistake anyway, because if you remember what we're discussing now, we said last year, and I checked, we said that Alexa Bliss would be the first one to turn heel on Team Blair, and guess what happened? We were right. Alexa Bliss did turn on Team Blair right afterwards. So again, this gives the possibility of, okay, Damage Control's win, then they kick out Bailey. Who the hell? But it's one of those scenarios, one of the six or seven scenarios that we just listed. We know will happen.
All right.
So
all right. Now we move on to the men's war games match.
Oh, you know, you had a big one about this one, so give your scenario, please, sir.
Okay, well, I did start off by saying I honestly believe because the Judgment Day, as powerful and as strong as they are, Creative wants to keep them going.
Yep.
So clearly, out of the blue, the Judgment Day's my pick. But there are certain scenarios that we're going to circle around. Now, number one, clearly, Cody Rhodes' team is missing one person. And we all have a feeling who it's going to be, who's going to fill in that spot.
Randall Kenneth Orton.
I don't know what his middle name is, but yeah, Randy Orton.
Randy Kenneth Orton is his full name.
Okay.
I checked online.
Okay, all right. But
his finish is called RKO, by the way.
I know. That's how RKO came to play, but...
Right.
Because now Randy Orton's been out for a while.
He's been out for over a year already, at least, easy.
Yeah. But keep in mind, Jey Uso is on that team, and when Randy Orton was hurt, he and his former partner Riddle were feuding with the Usos, so...
And
now, if Randy Orton were to turn on his team, he's not going to join the Judgment Day.
I don't think he's going to join the Judgment Day, but like we said last night, I think there is a possibility of Randy Orton turning heel. Randy Orton is a fantastic character. The problem is he's never really sustained a face run. He's traditionally a heel. He's always been a heel, like Triple H before him and like Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and all those guys. He is just that persona. He's just that personification of the word heel.
Like The Miz.
No, that's where he's going.
Like The Miz. like Ric Flair.
Right, Ric Flair is a much better comparison than The Miz.
Mr. Perfect.
Miz not shine Randy Orton's boots. Don't even go. Okay.
I had to because I had to see your reaction, Mark, so I'm sorry.
Okay. Better comparison to Randy Orton would be Ric Flair, Triple H. Scott Steiner was faced for years, but when Scott Steiner went solo, he was a heel, Scott Steiner. So all those legendary heels of the business, ravaging Rick Rude, may he rest in peace, those are your heels. And Randy Orton is definitely in that slot of he's better heel. Do I think he's going to become number five? Yes. Do I think he's going to turn on them? Eventually, yes. So I think that's what's going to happen. But I think it's going to be a good match, though. I mean, the array of talent in this one is amazing. It really is, especially on Cody's team. You got Cody.
A thought came to mind. Orton, he can turn heel and turn on his team, but that does not mean that they'll lose. He could basically turn on, hit the RKO on Cody, and then walk out. And then basically, Judgment Day tries to go for the win, but Cody stays in it. And then imagine it ends up with, if Judgment Day loses and Dominic is pinned, this could actually start basically leading to the fact that Dominic could be kicked out of the group.
It's a possibility, but
these are just scenarios. I mean, there's all these different scenarios that could happen in these kinds of matches.
Now you bring up the reminder me of something in NXT when Dakota Kai turned on her team. Way back when at War Games, when Dakota Kai turned on her team, and her team won any minus Dakota Kai. So, again, that is a possibility. And teams in Survivor Series have won where someone has turned on their team and walked out the door.
I mean, Big Show did it in 2014.
Yes, that's correct.
I was actually confused because, yeah, he turned on Team Cena but walked out and was supposedly counted out. But I always say, I don't ever remember seeing the referee count to 10, but I would imagine if you walked out of the ring, if you go past the curtain, even if the referee doesn't count till 10, that's an automatic count out. That's called a voluntary count out.
It's an involuntary count out. I know we've seen that before in the Survivor Series.
But
1994, when going home, when the late great Owen Hart entire team got counted out, Razor Ramon was the sole survivor.
Right.
Because Shawn kicked Diesel and the whole team walked. So I don't remember the referee ever counting to 50, but apparently he did. So these things do happen. But anyway, back to the War Games situation. the array of talent in this match is going to be incredible. It really is. I mean, Damian Priest, I know you like him. He's becoming into his own a little bit. Finn Balor. Dominic, I can't stand. He's nothing like his father. Dominic's just an annoyance. We know what Drew McIntyre can do.
Right.
He's stolen pay-per-views by himself. So, and then on the other side, you have Jey Uso. We know what he can do. Cody steals everything he's in. The array of talent in this match, Sami Zayn, if you go back to his Ring of Honor days, you go back to any match he's ever had, this could be a hell of a survival. This could be a hell of a War Games match, and I think it will be.
Well, Drew McIntyre's not in this match, actually.
He didn't sign. I thought he signed on.
Yeah, well, I mean, he turned heel, but he's actually not in this match, according to what I see on the card.
So it's only 4-on-4, not 5-on-5.
Yeah.
So then the teams are set, then.
Yeah. This is what I see. Yeah, basically, yeah. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, and Sami Zayn versus Damon Priest, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonough.
Well, we can assume if they want to get Randy Orton, because we've been saying that they've been short all night. So we can assume that tonight they're going to say the men's going to be 5-on-5. Drew McIntyre will join one team and Randy Orton will probably join the other team. That's what we can assume if we're going to get 5-on-5. If not, we have a 4-on-4, and then Randy Orton can't do anything. So we have to assume that it's going to be 5-on-5 since Drew McIntyre jumped in last week. So we have to assume that's probably going to be 5-on-5.
Right.
So assuming it's going to be 5-on-5 like it was last year and like it has been the past couple of years, we can assume McIntyre's going into the double cage.
I
hate to say it because I would love to take Team Cody, but Judgment Day is getting stronger by the minute. And if they want to keep it going, Judgment Day is going to have to take the win. It's an absolute must for them if they want to keep them going.
If it remains 4-on-4, then clearly Drew McIntyre. Okay, well, you know what? Here's another scenario, and I want you to think. So it's four to four. Orton and McIntyre are not technically in the match, but imagine this: McIntyre gets involved, and then Randy Orton comes in to even the odds, but Randy Orton remains a face. And then this starts out a rivalry between Orton and McIntyre, and then at WrestleMania we see Orton versus McIntyre.
I would love that. You know what? I agree with you, and that's what I'm hoping. I hope that happens because I would love to see McIntyre versus Randy Orton any day of the week.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is just basically a theory.
So the way I see it, yeah. McIntyre comes out, attempts it like that. Well, check this out. Let me add to the theory. McIntyre comes out, attacks, and then it looks as though Judgment Day is about to pick up the win, and they don't. And then Randy Orton comes out, and then takes out McIntyre, and then Cody Rhodes' team regains the advantage, and then eventually wins. I mean, again, there's all sorts of theories, but I just really believe that.
The
Judgment Day team is going to win, and this could very well build up to Cody versus Finn Balor at WrestleMania, for all I know.
I would love to have, honestly, at WrestleMania, Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. That could be the main event, and nobody of let's say night one, and nobody would complain, because that match could steal the whole card. As for Cody versus Finn Balor, yeah, if we keep that going all year, let's do it all the way to WrestleMania, because that also could be a whole lot of fun. So
we all know night one, the main event is Jay versus Jimmy.
Probably. We can assume that. But like we said, the array of talent in this match, and we don't know what the other Russo brother is going to do, if he's going to jump in or not. So the array of talent in this match is unbelievable right now.
Unbelievable. So this is the main event.
This will.
There's no way that this match is not the main event. It would not make any sense if it wasn't.
I agree with you. It would have to be the main event. It's going to be the main event, and I think the array of talent would make it the main event. So I think what they're going to do is, I think that The Miz match will be one because they want to open up with a title match. We usually do. The women's match will be two. Then you're going to have the other two matches, which honestly, okay, one people care about, one people doesn't. And then you're going to have the main event, which will be the men's War Games. And I think that's going to be the whole card, honestly. And it looks like it's got three. There are five matches set. We know at least three of the five are going to be fun. Two of them, not so fun. So
if it's not Dominic who ends up being kicked out, it's very likely going to be Damian.
No, Damian's got the case, so I don't think it's going to be him. What if they pull a swerve and it's Finn Balor?
Oh, if Finn Balor is the one who gets betrayed?
He gets betrayed
by JT McDonald because of the history between the two.
Right.
You see, all these theories, as we do the show, see, this is the magic, Mark. This is something you don't just write down and then expect, like you're going to say on the show. Like, as the show goes on, things come to mind. So, and let me say the one I had. McIntyre comes out, and then just when Judgment, okay, imagine this. Judgment Day, okay, Dominic whoever covers Cody or whatever, about to win, then all of a sudden Randy Orton's music hits, and then Orton comes out, and then evens the odds, gets rid of McIntyre, and then, I mean, again, anything could happen, but I do believe, but this is, okay, but still, my pick is the Judgment Day, but if the Judgment Day doesn't win, the way I see it happening is McIntyre comes out, tries to get the win for the Judgment Day, Orton evens the odds, and then Judgment Day loses, but I just don't see the Judgment Day losing.
The Judgment Day cannot lose this match. Their momentum is so high right now. And I'm not a fan of the Judgment Day. I'm not even close. I think they're boring. But like most groups, they start to grow on you a little bit. And honestly, the array of talent in Judgment Day, minus one Dominic Mysterio, is starting to grow a little bit. Look, the last, three or four matches that Damian Priest have been absolute beauties. They've been 3-4-star calibers. Finn Balor always has a 4 or 5 star match. We know what Rhea Ripley can do. We know what Drew McIntyre can do. So the array of talent, again, is incredible. So, yeah, all the scenarios that we're picking, and what if, who knows what else comes out of this? We can very well have Cody against Damian Priest. We could very well have Sami Zayn against Finn Balor. We could have anything we want.
Right? And let me tell you this, if Judgment Day loses, you do know that Mommy is going to chastise them the next day on the next Monday Night Raw.
Well, if they lose, Mommy's going to have a field day.
Big time.
And the person she will blame will probably be the captain. The captain, the supposed captain, we know is supposed to be Damian Priest. So if they lose, Mommy will rip Damian Priest a new one, and you know that. Because she's not going to rip into her little boyfriend, Dom Dom, because that's her Dom Dom. Rip into the one of the three of them, or maybe the four of them, because of Drew McIntyre joining the fray. So who the hell knows? But if they lose, yeah, Mommy's going to rip him a new one.
Big time.
So all the scenarios are all possibilities.
Yeah.
So... And if you look at the women's matches, the array of talent we have going into there is also incredible. What if we wind up getting Kyrie versus, pick somebody. Kyrie versus anybody would be great. What if we get Asuka versus Charlotte again? But what if we get Asuka versus Blair? You'd love that.
Yeah.
Or we get Io versus anybody along those lines, but... The possibilities of War Games is endless.
It is.
Usually, War Games would end feuds. It seems that War Games seems to start feuds, starts the newer feuds, and that's what keeps the business going.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping that this show ends up being good because AEW Full Gear really disappointed me, except for the fact that Will Ospreay is now official with AEW, even though he won't start until February of next year because he's got to finish up his deal with New Japan. The episode came out this morning, so check it out. But, yeah, I'm hoping that this show does not disappoint.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why are you watching WCW 3.0?
Well, I love, well, Mark, I mean, I love pro wrestling. When you love pro wrestling, you want to follow all the promotions to the best of your ability. So I try to follow MLW, Ring of Honor, AEW, Impact, the independent scene that's around my area. I love pro wrestling, Mark. I don't want AEW being better than WWE. I don't want WWE being better than AEW. I just want to love pro wrestling as a whole. Because when you're a wrestling fan like me, it's about being grateful that you have more than you can chew, even though it's hard to sustain. I mean, it's unfortunate that New Japan, it's very hard to keep up with, but especially the promotion in Mexico, the AAA Lucha Libre in Mexico. I mean, see, again, I love professional wrestling. So that's why I keep up with AEW programming.
So do I. But honestly, you have to remember, I remember WCW, which is why I call it WCW 3.0, because TNA became WCW 2.0 eventually. And now AEW is becoming WCW 3.0 with all the men, revamped storylines of 25 years ago. We've seen all this already. I don't watch AEW, honestly, because I've tried. I originally, when AEW was a new concept, I used to watch them. But then when they started signing the older guys, it was like, oh, wow, it's WCW 2.0 again. No, thank you. They brought in Vicky Guerrero. No, thank you. They brought in the Hardy Boys. As much as I love the Hardy Boys, no, thank you. I've seen all this. I've seen this movie before. And then to make matters worse, they tried to do the broken character from 15 years ago. No, I don't want to see this.
Right.
I don't want to see the Big Show still getting into the ring. I don't want to see Edge still getting into the ring. I don't want to see Christian getting title shots. MJF is a phenomenal champion, but he's wrestling dinosaurs. Of course AEW can't put on a good show. The whole locker room is dinosaurs.
Okay, not all of it, but I guess your point.
Okay, back to WWE.
Well, so I'm hoping that this show does not disappoint.
And I don't think it will, but we said the same. We knew Crown Jewel was going to be a disappointment, which it was.
That's why we didn't even bother talking about it.
No, we skipped that whole show. You and I discussed, are we going to do it? I said we shouldn't. You said no. And the funny thing was, I actually wrote down a couple pages of just in case we did. And I looked at my notes and I said, why even bother? And I threw them in the garbage. And my wife looks at me, she goes, you're not doing the show? I said, no.
Because you when you called me, you wanted to explain to me that there's no point. And then I said, I actually thought that I was going to have to explain to you that there was no point of doing it. So, I mean, now I sound like an ungrateful fan, but I'm sorry. But sometimes when you know that a show does not live to the potential that it's got to be in, you don't bother. I mean, okay, case in point, this is off subject. The Dallas Cowboys, their last two games, I didn't even bother previewing them because they're against shitty teams. I recapped them. I was nice enough to recap them, but when things like that, you know, it's not even worth the time. It's not even worth the effort.
Same thing with the Island. I'm the same with my Islanders. As you love your Dallas Cowboys, I love my Islanders. As a matter of fact, they wear my Islanders pants right now. I didn't bother with the last couple of games because I know they're going to lose. So a losing concept is a losing concept, and I thought that Crown Jewel was a losing concept. But this has always been a fun show, the Survivor Series. I own the box set. I've seen them all. I love this pay-per-view, my favorite one. And we did forget to do one thing, though, Alex. That was we did not break down the rules of War Games. So for those who don't know the rules, I will explain the rules.
Oh, hell.
It is a 4-on-4 concept. It is it goes by intervals. The first two in have the hardest job because they're in for 5 minutes. After the 5 minutes, a coin toss decides which team gets the advantage. And every interval afterwards, until everybody comes in, every 2 minutes, from the face team, from the heel team, they go in. There are no disqualifications. There's no countouts. There's no rules. The only way to win this thing now, it used to be submission or surrender, and now we're understanding they've added pin, so it's pin or submission or surrender is the only way to win. No eliminations. One fall does it, and those are the rules, folks. And that'll be for both men's and women's. And yes,
thank you very much, Mark.
And before anybody asks, I've seen all of them. I've seen the ones in WCW. I've seen the one that had a Ring of Honor. I've seen all of them on NXT. If you've never seen a War Games, you're going to love it. Just don't watch the one from 1997 and the bad match. bad.
You see, y'all getting a little New Yorker experience. That's how they do it, y'all. In Texas, we don't really go that. We just say, just don't watch it, for goodness sake.
Well, if you're wondering why the 97 one was so bad, it's because of what? It was the Horsemen versus the NWO. The NWO pretty much destroyed the Horsemen, which shouldn't have happened. It was the night that Kurt Hennig turned on the Horsemen after taking on Anderson's place, and they smashed Ric Flair's head into the steel door, forcing a person's name we're not allowed to say on this show to say that the Horsemen surrendered the match.
Well, I've said the name on the show, so you can say it.
It was
one of the episodes recently about Paul Heyman's soap eating shame.
It was Chris Benoit who said that they should stop because he was handcuffed to the cage, along with Mongo Michael, and the match ended. It was not a very good pay-per-view, as a matter of fact. That whole show was awful. So if you're going to go back on the network, watch the ones from the 80s. The early 90s were fine. 1995 with Hulk Hogan was pretty decent. It wasn't great, but it was decent. 96, skip. If you're an NWO fan, you might like it. 97, completely jump it. And then you could start watching the ones from NXT, because everything after that, just don't even bother, because the 99 concept was extremely stupid. If you remember that one, we're not going to get into that, but this is going to be a fun one. If you've never seen War Games, watch it. You'll enjoy it, and you're going to have a great time. You really are.
Damn right you will. Mark, once again, I'd like to thank you very, very much for coming on the show. You did a fantastic job taking the lead in this one. You're going to be doing it again.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. And a reminder that Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, pretty much anywhere where you can get your podcasts. So what I need you guys to do is hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, because this is, in fact, the greatest pro wrestling podcast in the world. If you love pro wrestling, you need to subscribe to the show. So in that way, honestly, I want to be sure that you do not miss out on any exciting upcoming content. This is Alex Alcazaz standing by with Mark freaking Braverman. Brav, before I let you go, anything else you got to say?
Yeah, I got to say one more thing. If you follow me on TikTok, as of tomorrow, I am closing my TikTok for 30 days to protest the website. I have my reasons. I'm not going to say why on the air. If you want to find out, I put the reasons on my Facebook page. So if you follow me on TikTok for 30 days, I'll be closing my TikTok page. You can still follow me on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter for obvious reasons, or what they call X now, but you can follow me on Instagram all over there. I'm on Facebook. I'm on all those sites, but I will not be on TikTok for the next 30 days. I will be closing my TikTok page, and I want to thank my beautiful wife, Tracy, for doing the same thing. And good luck to my favorite star, Bailey. Good luck, and all the best to her and all the best to the teams, and just Have a great show, guys. Just give us a great show. That's all I'm asking.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the show, and God bless.
Yep. Have a good night.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.